Thank you, Father Brandon. I have to admit that I thought this could have been a joke, that he would have me drive down from High Falls. You know, it's not a busy time of year or anything. As a priest, on a Wednesday evening, and I thought I'd show up and there'd be nobody here, and he'd say, "Well, April Fools, Father Ben. Thanks for coming down." But I thought, even if that was the case, at least you guys have an Arby's and a Target, so I could get some errands done before the big weekend. But it is good to be here with you tonight. I kind of had a chuckle. Father Brandon, we always joke around, and I thought I'd remain behind the podium this evening because I know he likes to jump off pews and hang from the rafters and get right in your face, and so I'll stay up here. Father Brandon and I, we did have a great time in seminary. Actually, before that, I grew up in McGregor, and so remember when he was a youth minister here? Like, he was my pseudo youth minister. He took me under his wing, and I did a lot of events with people from Holy Spirit in high school. And then lo and behold, one day I show up at seminary and there he is. And I'm helping him pass classes now. And he was my former youth minister. And so he got me through life, kind of got each other through seminary. And one of the things that I'm most edified by is in the diocese now we see this movement and in the new evangelization of welcoming people back to the sacraments. You guys are seeing it firsthand here. It's happening all around our diocese. And I'm inspired by Father Brandon that we've talked about a lot of these things for many, many years now. And so to be brother pastors together in different parishes is just a blessing. And so again, I'm very pleased to be here. I know Father Brandon came up to International Falls and just working as a deanery, and his brother priest is such a blessing. Tonight I wanted to talk about the Ten Commandments from the perspective of the commandments of life. If you have your list of how to make a good good confession with an examination that has the Ten Commandments. Right? And first, just right off the bat, imagine, if you will, a world in which everybody followed the Ten Commandments. Imagine what your parish would be like, or your family, or your school, if everybody simply followed these basic commandments. They're a very good thing. These are rules, you find them even in ancient societies, all the way through the present. These are the basic rules that comes from just common sense. Like, if I want to live with others, how should I behave? But as Catholics, we often are pegged, and sometimes by ourselves, when you think about commandments or morality, what do we think of? We think of no. No. No, no, never, no fun, nothing. Right? Our church is a list of no's. Well, behind every no is a much deeper yes. And just think about this for the commandments. Yes, we're saying no gods before our Lord. No to using his name in vain. No to dishonoring Sabbath or a parent. No to murdering and adultery, lying, being jealous. So what are we really saying that's deeper than these no's? Is a great yes. Yes, God. Yes, your holy name. Yes, Mass. Yes, my family. Yes to life. Yes to fidelity and honesty and gratitude, appreciation for what we have. Every time you are tempted to think, or you see in our society, us being demoted to a church of no's, remember what the great yeses are beneath. I think about it like sports. Did you know that there is a binder, you can look it up, I did for a homily earlier this year. If you look up the rules of hockey, there is a 140-page rule book for hockey. I had no clue. I confess, basketball family, I didn't know like the blade of your stick could only be, is there even called a blade? I don't know. But it can only be bent a certain degree. It can only be so much tape. The goalie's pads can only be so big. Like 140 pages of these rules. Now, Here's a question for you. Do hockey athletes sit around and read this 140-page document? If they master that document, they know all the no's, do they become good hockey players? Well, of course not. If somebody goes out onto a rink and all they're thinking is, I can't check from behind, or I can't carry the puck when I'm skating, or I can't take my skates off, what kind of hockey player would that be? They'd be crazy. The rules for hockey are good because they set up an arena, they set up boundaries to play the game, to excel, to win, to be victorious, to have relationships with teammates and athletes. That's what the Ten Commandments are. That's why they're commandments of life, because they set the framework in which we live. But we shouldn't live our life just going around thinking, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this. For any athlete here, if you know, if you play sports like that, what happens? I remember in junior high, I was scared to death of my coach. And when I went out there, I would just tighten up and I think, I can't mess up. I can't mess up. Well, what do? You mess up. You're playing tight. You're playing scared. Think about the great athletes. Say LeBron James. LeBron James, every single game, will mess up dozens of times. If you think about missed shots, fouls, turnovers, bad passes, poor decisions. And what I love about watching great athletes is when they mess up, do they beat themselves up? Do they just put their head down in shame? No, they kind of beat their chest. It's my bad, my fault, and they go to the next play and they excel. That's our faith. We will all mess up. We will all break the commandments. We're human. That's part of our fallenness. So how do we respond to a fall? How do we respond to messing up? And it is indeed messing up. It's sin. It cuts us off from God. But do we then just beat ourselves up? Do we just shrivel into fear and think, oh, I can't do that again. I can't do that again. I can't do that again. Or do you just kind of, Lord, that's my bad. I'm sorry. Sorry to my family or my wife, my kids, my friends. I'm sorry. I messed up. And then keep living the game of life to excel. Jesus came, he said it himself on the Sermon on the Mount. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Jesus shows us that behind the commandments is this great yes to love. And as he goes through the Sermon on the Mount, it's quite remarkable because he refers to the Ten Commandments, the law, as if he was clearly the master of that law. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery, for instance. But I say to you. You've heard that it was said, do not kill. But I say to you. What he was saying is that I'm the master of the law. And here's what I'm telling you the law is about. The law is about love. Loving God and loving our neighbor. St. Paul in his letter to the Romans just captures this in a very, very succinct way. It says in Romans 13, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this sentence. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. This evening I'd ask that you just think about confession in maybe a slightly different way. When you make your examination, I mean, kind of picture that you're that athlete looking at game film. Right? Just recently, I was at a leadership conference, and we were filmed. We had this project that we had to do, a community setting, and they filmed us. We had a group of six. I knew them for a few days, but they were perfect strangers to start. We worked out this problem. I thought we had a great solution. And then we went back and watched the tape. And it was tempting for us to see just the things we did wrong. Boy, I interrupted that person. That wasn't good. I kind of overpowered that person, or I just didn't listen at this time. But we accomplished the job. We did a great job. And that was helpful for me to think about. It's like an athlete looking at and reviewing film. That's what like our examination of conscience is. Even if you win a football game, the NFL, they're studying film all the time. They're being nitpicking, but it's not to say, I failed, but how can we strive to excel? How can I make improvements so that we can be victorious? Take that attitude in tonight. Don't just look at the examination of as, these are my failures, this is my sin. True. But think about it as ways God is calling you to holiness that you may play the game of life better. You may excel. That you may be happy and holy and healthy. You may be victorious in Jesus Christ. Well, as priests, we're happy to be here tonight. We're here to do nothing more than be bridges to God's mercy. Well, my prayers, I'm so glad to be here, to be with brother priests, a friend, Father Brandon and others. No, we want nothing more than Jesus Christ to touch your hearts as we enter into the salvific mysteries of the Holy Triduum, of Jesus' Paschal Mystery, His life, death, and resurrection, which we hope helps us and inspires us to live for excellence each and every day. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for giving us this opportunity to be with you, to be with your Son in his body and blood, soul and divinity, to hear the words of absolution, to have our sins forgiven. Help us strive to live for excellence, to live for joy, peace. Please enter into our hearts more deeply that we may enter into your heart more deeply. That these holiest of the days of the year may inspire us, may inspire our families and our friends, and especially those who are in most need of your love and mercy. I ask that you be with each and every one of us tonight. Help us make good confessions, help us pray well, and help us be grateful for all that you have given us. We ask this through Christ our Lord.